Amen. Like Brother Stephen said, I hope that's the prayer of your heart. And I just couldn't help but think as we sang through those the words of that chorus, millions, millions, billions grope in darkness. You know, they're just trying to find their way, waiting for thy word. And we have it tonight. We're going to get to the privilege of hearing it preached and hearing about it tonight. And so what a privilege and joy that you and I have. And so grateful for the Word of God. And then thankful for the men of God that God has put into our church. And there's so many great men in our church. And I'm so thankful for Brother Eugene Radford. Brother Eugene, you don't get to see him very often because unless you come to the early service. And then obviously on Sunday nights, he's downstairs with the teenagers. He's over with the teenagers on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. He's working all the time. And he is just such a faithful man and such a faithful friend. And I'm so thankful for him. And he is the first one for our Equip series. The pastor's asked to share some practical truths for Christian living tonight. So Brother Eugene, without further ado, I'll have you come and want to thank you for being here tonight and sharing God's word with us. And I'll turn it over to you now.
All right. Thank you, brother. All right. There were some handouts as you came in. So if anybody still needs a handout, we can probably get an usher in here to wave that down and make sure you get it. I was thinking as before we even springboard into our lesson tonight, I was thinking as he was talking and thinking about this song about how much do we appreciate the Word of God. I remember my life changed in sitting on a log in Romania on my first ministry trip abroad. I was having the privilege of leading some God and I time with some teenagers. And all week long, we had seen these rough and tough guys sitting at a little store, and we were sitting on just outside of the little place we were staying at. And on about the third day, these guys came over. And these guys were not small guys. They had arms about as big as my legs, and each day we had seen them, they were pretty gruff looking. And to make things worse, they carried big old sickles. Because each day they were day laborers going into the mountain fields and cutting hay for the farmers manually. And on that day, they, through our interpreter, told us they had never owned their own copy of God's Word. And they saw that we had Bibles for the kids that were Romanian in their language. And they literally begged us for a copy of God's Word. Changed my life forever. Not only did it give me a heart for missions and the need around this world, but it gave me a conviction of how oftentimes I went home to 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't know how many Bibles I had at home, had several different ones that were sitting on the shelves, but it gave me a passion to want to get in God's Word, meditate on God's Word, dine on God's Word. This year, he told you that my wife and I serve with what we call the Pathfinders Ministry. Based on Proverbs 4:26, we are helping our bus teens to ponder the path of their feet, let all their ways be established in God. And this year, we've been focused on Psalm 19 that says, talking about God's Word, and I'll just read the last verse here, it says, more to be desired are they, God's Word, than gold, yea, more, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. What a privilege we have to have a copy of God's Word. What a privilege we have to be able to go to God's Word and be able to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help us understand God's Word. Now, it's like anything, and we're so excited. We've got two grandbabies on the way this year. And I think about that and think about babies as they have just the milk. And the Bible uses that illustration that we have a little bit of milk. And as we grow and grow, we get more and more, and we can handle more and more. But not only should we be able to handle more and more, but we should be able to desire more and more. So let's pray, and then I'd like to get into this topic of biblical meditation with you tonight. Lord God, help us tonight. Help us rightly divide your word. Help us feed on your word tonight. Fill us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, like many of you, I go to work each day, and I have hours and hours throughout the year worth of training, and there's been a certain topic that's been very popular in recent years, and I know I spend a lot of times with teenagers, both in public schools and other places, and I know that this is a topic that is very popular in their world as well, and it seems like every time you turn around, you're hearing something about meditating, or meditation, or the new cool term for this is often mindfulness. I remember just about 2 years ago, I went to Dallas for a corporate training, and we had a mindfulness guru come in and lead the large group in this process of meditation and mindfulness to empty our mind. And it really made me think of the time that is not God's version of meditation. And I want to caution you, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about mindfulness. And while it is being taught everywhere from elementary school to corporate America, and it has in many ways been divorced from any of its roots, it is still based in the Eastern religions and still particularly in Buddhism. We had the privilege several years ago to take our teenagers on what was called the cheapest missions trip. Some of the young adults in here I see probably remember that trip. And it was to the area of Alpharetta, Georgia, around Atlanta. And during that trip, we wanted to take them and help them to see the need in our own country. Not only the need for foreign missions, but the need for our own country. So during that trip, we took our teenagers to a mosque. We took our teenagers to a Buddhist temple, and we took our teenagers to a Hindu shrine where they could be exposed and understand the depth of this attack, even on our own soils. And I'll never forget when we went to the Buddhist temple and we took a standard tour, and then a guy came to talk to us who sounded a lot like Yoda. But he talked to us about how the principle and how the importance of meditation to help yourself get happy. To get happy. That was the end goal. From one Buddhist website, it says like this: it's training in meditation. Our mind will gradually become more and more peaceful and will experience a purer and purer form of happiness. Eventually, we will be able to stay happy all the time, even in the most difficult circumstances. I preached another message on happiness, and I told the teenagers, go use your electronic Bibles and search the word happy. Happy does not appear very many times in the Word of God. God is concerned with our joy. He's concerned with our dependence on Him. But the word happy is not something that is an end-all, be-all for God, albeit it is here. Now, again, I'm not going to argue against some of the benefits of self-reflection. I'm definitely not going to argue some of the benefits of quieting your mind from time to time. But where I went to is I wanted to meditate on what does the Word of God say about meditation. So if you'll turn with me there to Psalm 63, we'll look here at what the psalmist David wrote. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We talked about that spring of living water tonight. Oh, man. To see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen thee in sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. See, we can look back with thankfulness and we can look forward with trust because our God is still on the throne. And our God has taken care of us. David, of all people. David, I think sometimes we get into the mindset that we read about David and the other heroes of the faith, and we think they were somebody special. David just loved God. He loved God's word, right? David was an adulterer and a murderer. But God called him a friend. David was somebody that stood up for God when God wanted him to. God, he saw great things happen in God. Now, every day wasn't a battle with Goliath. Every day he wasn't out there killing lions and bears. But every day wasn't at the top of it, just like it's not for us. I have to believe that David was prepared for those great moments that we read about because in the normal moments, he meditated on what God had to say. He thought about what God had to say. So as we look here and you have your handouts there, the first thing I see here is the biblical meditation is focused on God. See, everything in the Bible is focused on God. Everything from the first verse to the last verse is focused on God. It's not focused on you. It's not focused on me. See, while mindfulness is about emptying your mind and chasing happiness and self-satisfaction, biblical meditation is about filling our mind with the things of God and seeking insights and understanding of who God is, understanding who our God is, having a friendship with God. This isn't just a book that we read of history and even of science or anything like that. It is a book that is a love letter from God to each one of us, and quite frankly, to the world, to show who he is. This enables us to gain God's understanding, understand God's will, and to align our lives to the way that God wants us to go, seeking every step of the way. That verse from Proverbs 4:26, 10 years ago, about 8 or 9, I guess, that when we were praying over our ministry, what would God have us to do here at Buffalo Ridge? And we saw the need with the teenagers, that verse just kept coming to us. And we just chewed on it for about a year, I think it was, before we named the group. Just ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. See, the teenagers are walking around this world and they're thinking about how they're going to walk. And if we don't give them guidance of God's word, they're going to walk in all kinds of different ways. It's going to take them through some painful paths. I know, because I was one of those rebellious teenagers who went down some painful paths that I didn't have to go down. See, God had a victory for me. He has a victory for each one of us to live in. We sing songs about the victory in Jesus. That's not something that comes when he comes back and we have resurrection. It's something that we are called to live in each and every day. Sure, there's going to be some giants, but you grab you a Caleb to run beside you and you go conquer those giants and tackle those mountains and just know that God will carry us through. Point number A here, focused on God through his word. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." See, we got to get in God's word. We got to be reading God's word. We got to be able to get it in us so that when we need it, it's there. It's coming to our mind. Just not too long ago, I've been struggling quite a bit over the last year and a half with a shoulder injury, and just really I had gotten afraid to use it, so it had just pretty much frozen up. And amongst other things, they wanted to do an MRI, and they asked me, would it be okay if they slid me into the MRI? And I said, yeah, no problem. I've been in all kinds of tight spaces, and I never had a problem with that. And I don't know what it was that day, but it may have been the big strap they strapped me down with. But as soon as they sent me into the MRI, I went into almost a total meltdown of panic. I was this close to screaming for my life. I was that afraid. And all of a sudden, a flood came over me. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. All kinds of things from God's word and the goodness of God came over me and came to my mind. Next thing I knew, I was singing, He decidido seguir a Cristo, which means I have decided to follow Jesus. And it came to me in Spanish because we and the teenager stood on a platform in Chile and sang that song. I mean, it was just as clear as day coming back in all the verses just over and over. But it first had to be verses that you thought about, first verses that you've read. Focus on God's word. Psalm 1:1-2 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in law doth he meditate day and night. Do we get excited about reading God's word? Do we get excited about the blessings that God has in store for us when we follow his word? Psalm 119:48 and then verse 78. My hands also will I lift up thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. See, we got God's word that we can trust. We got God's word that gives us a hope for tomorrow. God's word that gives us a hope for eternity. God's word that we can see the evidence of things that have happened in the past. See the evidence of things that people have went through, and we can rest on that. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. God's word helps us go day and day. So focus. Biblical meditation is focused on God, and it's always focused on God through his word. While the world wants to tell you to empty your mind, the word tells us to take the word of God and fill our mind with it. If this book became illegal tomorrow, and I used to think there was no chance of that here in this country, but if this book became illegal tomorrow and it was all confiscated, how much of it would you still have? I think Joseph in the Bible is, in Genesis, is probably one of my favorite people to read and study. And I was meditating on him and studying on him years ago when it hit me. He lived before Moses. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Joseph didn't have the Bible as we know it today. He had the stories that he had grown up on, I'm sure. He had the teachings of his life. But he didn't have that. If we didn't have it, how much would we be able to go back to? If we have to think about it and meditate on it. Biblical meditation focuses on God through his word and fills our mind with the teachings and principles and narratives of found in the scripture, and it'll help you through life. Secondly, here under this, biblical meditation is focused on God through his works. God's done some great things for us. And when we look back through life, we can see ways that we may not have seen in the moment. There's many things I can look back in my life that I didn't see the hand of God in the moment. But when I look back now, I can see how God just took our family through different things. Psalm 77 says in verse 12, I will meditate also on thy works, talk of thy doings. See, if we're meditating on it, if we're thinking about God's work, we're probably talking about it. What consumes your conversations? What consumes our conversations with our coworkers, with our friends, with our family? How much do we love to talk about the goodness of God and the works of God? We're talking about inviting people to Easter service. This is a day we get to celebrate the resurrection of our God. It ought to be one of the most joyous occasions. Because God, Jesus Christ, conquered death, hell, and the grave on that day for you and for me. When I think about what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary, and I think about how he took my suffering. See, as a 12-year-old little boy, I came to East Tennessee on vacation. My father was military. We traveled all over the world. We only lived here for a very short time when I was a little bitty baby, but this was always home. We came up here in summer vacation many times. My dad was a typical Army sergeant. He had been raised in a Christian home, but at best we were CEOs, Christmas, Easter onlys. My grandfather, on the other hand, was a godly man. And if you were in my grandfather's house and church was about to start, you were packing up to go to church. You had no choice. As a 12-year-old boy, spending my summer nights that week in revival at a little bitty church in Elizabethan or Carter County up on Gap Creek just drove me up the wall. We had all kinds of great things to do. We went, took the boat up to Lake Watauga. We were fishing. We were doing everything. But every night we'd have to cut our vacation a little short, and we'd have to come home and get cleaned up and get ready for church. And as a snot-nosed 12-year-old boy, that just was a horrible way to spend my vacation. But my daddy got saved that week, and things changed in the Radford house. We went back to Fort Benning, Georgia, and where we had some family, and we got in a church, and it wasn't long, I think it was around about November of that year, I was walking home from school, and all those words that preacher had been preaching over the last couple months, and that youth pastor, had a great youth pastor, Ken Jordan, bless his heart, he had been pouring into us and telling us about how we were sinners. Nobody had to convince me of that. I knew I'd done wrong. He told us there was a punishment for that sin. Nobody had to convince me of that. My dad's belt did that enough. But he had to convince me of how God saw it. And I kept hearing that, and I'll never forget that day. I was walking home from school that Wednesday afternoon, and the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me and said, if you die today, where would you go, young man? And I knew that day I'd go straight to hell. I didn't understand everything. All I knew is I couldn't get home fast enough. I couldn't get to my mama fast enough. And my mama did not know a whole lot at the time, but she knew enough to pack me up in the car and get me right away to the church. And the pastor was in there studying, and I'll never forget because her cousin was the secretary of the church. And she come in there and said, my boy needs to be saved. The secretary didn't waste no time. She went to write to the pastor and said, you're needed now. And Brother Dallas Lathan took this book, and showed me how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven. I don't care. I love to tell it. I love to tell the story. If you're sitting here today and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, I hope you never get tired of telling that story. You never get tired of knowing about our salvation. If we meditate on that, if God did nothing else for me in my entire life, that's enough to praise Him for all eternity. It's enough to sing His glory for all eternity. But He doesn't stop there. He says, come on, you know, just like He did those children of Israel. He brought them out of the wilderness. Or He brought them out of captivity, I should say, that picture of salvation. And yeah, they wandered around the wilderness, and sometimes they failed. Sometimes they did stupid stuff. Guess what? Most of us do. That's a picture of that early life where we're struggling with the carnality of this world. Then some of them got really comfortable. And they settled in on that east side of Jordan. They told Moses, we don't need to go in the promised land because we're comfortable where we are. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, my wife and I got very comfortable for many years. We served in another church, and we enjoyed coming to service and sitting there on the pew and listening, singing songs, and doing a little bit here and there. We got very comfortable being Christians. Then we come over here about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and somebody challenged me to say, what's God called you to do? What's God called you? What could you do? Because He doesn't call people just to sit on pews. Everybody is in the body of Christ. Everybody has a called purpose. Brother Kyle and I joke a lot, and he's actually started using the term because he knows it's one of my pet peeves is, the term full-time service. I'm going to tell you, church, God has not just called pastor into full-time service. He's not just called Daniel into full-time service. He's called every single one of us into full-time service. We shouldn't expect anything out of our pastor that we don't expect out of ourselves. If we expect our pastor to be getting in the Word of God and studying and preparing and meditating over the Word of God to feed us each and every time we come together, then we ought to be doing the same thing. We ought to be looking for it. We ought to be feeding on the Word of God. Focused on God's word, focused on God's works. See, biblical meditation focuses on God through his works and fills our mind with the goodness of God. Every time I think about my salvation, I am filled to the overboiling point of how good God is. There's many things I can think about in my life. When I go back to that little village there and I see those guys walking up to me, begging me for the copy of God's word, it just overwhelms me with the need for missions around this world. When I hear prayer requests tonight where we pray for young ladies like Maddie Brown and Summer Scroggs, it overwhelms me that we've got these young ladies that are willing to go out, go anywhere. I think both of them going out. Africa for God. What are we willing to do? Are we willing to go next door and invite our neighbor to an Easter service? My wife and I got really solid in a church because quite frankly, I like food. And we were so dirt poor, and we were wandering around, bouncing around, searching for a church. And while I was on vacation one time, or actually working something over in Charlotte, she went to church with her grandparents. And she liked it, but I hadn't gone there, and it was named Temple, like a Baptist temple, which was weird to me at the time. Now it's pretty normal, but I never forget that Sunday morning that we decided to go there. I looked at her, I said, man, I'd love to go out to eat today, but we're so dirt poor right now, we can't go out to eat. And I said, but if we go with your grandparents, they'll take us to eat. So we did, and they took us to eat that day, and then we spent the next 12 years in just about every service in that church. God called us right there, kept us right there. And I told you that was kind of our east side of Jordan experience, but God did that. So I have an offering every time I invite somebody, especially a coworker. It is always, and I'll feed you. I'll take you to dinner. Or I'll take you to the house. Let me know in advance. We'll feed you in some way, some sort. My challenge to you, figure out who you're going to feed Easter Sunday to. See, it's easy for us to take all our family who's churched here and our church there and church there, and we run really quick. We get done here, and we got to beat the Methodists over here, and we get done wherever we are, and we run to our families, and that's all good. But who's a lost soul that needs to sit at your table this Christmas or this Easter? I'd like to go back to Christmas. It was a little cooler. It's hot up here. But all right. So not only do we see that when we think about biblical meditation, it's focused on God's word. It's focused on God through his works, but it's also focused on God through his ways. And quickly here, Psalm 48:9 says, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of his temple. See, there's that word temple. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. These are all characteristics of God. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Hey, our minds can be overwhelmed with the junk of this world. Or we can fill it with the goodness of God. How much better off are we when we fill it with God? Biblical meditation focuses on God through his ways and fills our mind with thoughts of God's nature. How great is it to be able to think of God's nature? So that's the concept of biblical meditation. I hope that you have some verses there that you can go and meditate on, think about, chew on, okay? Understand the goodness. Let's talk a little bit about biblical meditation method. See, remember that the biblical meditation is personal. It's going to be a little bit different for everybody, but it is an ongoing practice. It may look different from person to person. It may even look different from day to day. There may be days where you're focused on one thing a little bit differently. There may be days where God is preparing you for something you don't even know you're being prepared for. Some kind of trouble, some kind of tribulation that's going to come down your path. There's going to be days where God is preparing you to be able to talk about a certain thing. There's going to be days where God is preparing your heart to be able to deal with something. And there's going to be other days where God just wants you rejoicing. All right? He just wants you singing about his praises. As we look here, there's different ways that you can do this. And the key to the approach is to have an open heart, to genuinely seek him who seeks you. See, God wants a personal relationship with us, not just through salvation, but he wants a personal walk with us, a personal relationship with us. He wants to be like he was with Adam. That's how God designed us as humans. God designed us to have that relationship with him, a relationship that would be personal, that would honor him. And of course, sin interrupts that. Some days it may look like repeating a verse over and over, thinking about what that verse means, what God's trying to teach you in that verse. Others, it may be rehearsing in our hearts and our minds some of the great things that God has done. Name them one by one, the song says. I love, and at Thanksgiving a couple years ago, Brother Kyle started the challenge with the teenagers to start every day by listing 100 things you were thankful for. You think that sounds easy? I'm going to be very honest. It was a little difficult to start. But once you start and you have that attitude of gratitude, it becomes easier and easier and easier. At work, they've created these little what they call e-cards, templates we can use to send out a message to somebody and just say something to them. So early last year, I started on a journey because they created an e-card called Thankful Thursdays to stop at the beginning of my workday every Thursday and ask myself, who do I work with that I'm thankful for? And not just in general, what is something specific they have done for me in the last week? And I wasn't perfect at it by any means, but each week I would try to send out this e-card to somebody to encourage that. Pastor always tells us in men's prayer time, and I've heard him say it in here, is the best thing to do for somebody is pray for them. Second best thing to do is tell them you're praying for them. Showing that appreciation. It's amazing the response I've got from my coworkers. We want to see a great response from God and a moving from God. What are we thankful for? Thinking about that. So if you're thinking about a passage, just some helpful tips here. Select a passage, obviously, that may come to you through your natural reading. It may be something that you're trying to realize and you're searching out. What does the Bible say about this? I love keyword searches. I love studying the Bible by just figuring out, okay, what's topical right now? Now be careful, don't take things out of context, but I love to do that. I love to take some old verses that we all know, like John 3:16, and really dive into those. Thinking about things like, what if God didn't love the whole world? What if he came only to his chosen people? Where would I be right now? But by his grace, he does love the world. He does love me. I don't know what God's plans are for each one of us in this room, but the one thing I do know for sure is he has a plan for each one of us in this room. And when we seek out and we think about that and we search the scriptures, we find that. Secondly, reflect on the meaning. Ponder the meaning of the passage. Always remember to consider it in context, but ask yourself what God might be communicating through these words, both in biblical narrative and to your life specifically at this time. I got to admit, I got to this verse 5 in Psalm 63. It says, "For the soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, with mouth shall praise thee." I had just seen a gourmet dish of bone marrow that apparently is something people eat, and it's supposed to look very good. I got to tell you, it made my mouth water, and it makes me want to try it. I'm going to a restaurant soon, and I'm going to try that. And I know all about fatness when it comes to food. When I thought about that and I thought about what is the Bible saying here? He's wanting to fill us. He wants us to pull a seat up at the table and dine on the bread of life. And he wants to not just allow us to eat and get a little snack that'll hold us over that Sunday morning sermon and hold us over to the next week. He wants to fill us each and every day with his word. Thirdly here, memorize the passage. Hey, I got to admit, I'm as guilty as the next person. We become crutches to technology. I mean, I know when I was a kid, and many of you were a kid, you had those teachers that would tell you, you better learn that math. You're not going to have a calculator in your pocket. You're not going to have a dictionary to look up that word. And we kind of do now. So I don't know what the future's going to bring, but that becomes a crutch. All right, it's so easy to look up a verse. I know that verse or something like that. Let's see what the Bible says about this. But there's nothing that will ever take the place of memorizing God's word. Not just where you can, you know, we tell the teenagers all the time, this isn't just about memorizing it, check a box, move on. These verses that will come to your mind when you need them. Hide God's word in your heart. Memorize the passage. This allows us to carry the verse with you throughout the day. It facilitates a continued reflection on God's word. It allows you to be able to have God's word. Take time, and it may require writing them down. Sometimes you might write something over and over and over before you memorize it. Pray for understanding. Ask God. See, that's the great thing. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God within us to help us understand. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. I'm going to tell you, there are passages of this Bible that no matter how many times I've read through them, some of them I've not quite got yet. I don't understand them. God gives me what I need in the moment. We pray for that understanding. God's going to give you the pieces that you need. Ask that and invite the Holy Spirit to illuminate God's word for you and speak to your heart. Quickly, apply to your life. Consider how the passage applies to your life right now, what you're going through, what you might want to share. Are there common areas of what you're going through and what you're reading? How do you apply the teachings? How do you find comfort in it? How to use it to encourage yourself in the challenging situations? Sixthly there, make a record. Again, this can take several different forms. Some people like to journal. Some people might do different things. People put stuff on social media, whatever. I like to write personally. I like to write a lot of poetry and just reflect on what God's telling me. And it's so rewarding to be able to go back and see how deep and dark I was. How struggling. I've done this. God spoke to me on the night that we found out our middle daughter had a heart problem, and the fear that overcame me that night. I'll never forget waking up in the middle of the night and just starting to write, my reflection, and some of it just fear. And oftentimes I go back and I look at that now, and I said, I had nothing to be afraid of. My God promised me he would carry us through that. We didn't know what that looked like. Today it's so easy to look back on that and see what it was, but that. And then finally, silent reflection. Spend time in silent reflection. Allow moments of stillness to deepen your connection with God. Take in the insights gained through your meditation. Now again, this doesn't mean you sit in a corner and just sit there and be still. I know some of the greatest times of silent meditation I have is driving down the road and I turn the radio off and roll the windows of my truck down. I smell God's nature, feel the warmth of the air, and just think about the goodness of God or something I've heard. Maybe there's been some preaching I've listened to or something like that. So if the musicians will come, close us with our invitation here in just a minute. My challenge is, how are we meditating on God's word? See, the world wants you to empty your mind and find your happiness. But God wants you to fill your mind and spirit with him and with how he's good, how he is trustworthy, how we are grateful for what he's done. So as we close, let our prayer be the prayer of the psalmist. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you'd stand with me, and we'll have the invitation play, and the altar is open. I know tonight, first and foremost, this was about learning how we can get closer to God. But I would be remiss if I wouldn't say, if there's somebody here that's never taken that first step, never taken that first step to realize that you're a sinner and realize that your sin had to be paid for, that tonight might be the night that you need to come to this altar and ask God to come into your heart and the best way you know how, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you're sitting there tonight and you say, I just want to commit to God, you can do that at the altar, you can do that at your seat. How much do you love God's Word? Does the fear of the Lord strike clean in your heart? Is it enduring forever? Do the judgments of the Lord ring true and righteous in your mind? Is it more to be desired than gold? Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. What is God's word to you? Wrap up this evening. Thank you, ladies. As we wrap up this evening, Brother Bobby's got a couple more announcements. You can have a seat for a moment, and then he'll pray and dismiss us. Before he does that, I'd like to make one plea to you. I mentioned earlier, find your ministry. At the couples retreat this week, it was also challenged that find your ministry. Maybe as a couple, find your ministry. We're in need of help. All around this church, there's different things that can be done. Pastor talks about different things. I'm going to put one thing specific on your heart and ask you to help pray for us. My wife and I serve with our bus teams, and God has been blessing that ministry. Any Sunday, we have 20 to 25 kids in there, and quite frankly, it's too many for just my wife and I to be in there. We need some help. I'd love to have another couple that would love to come alongside of us, and maybe it's nothing more but be a friend where a friend's needed. Maybe you want to teach some. Maybe you want to lead music. There's all kinds of ways we can customize that. The one thing I know is it doesn't have to be put into a box, okay? So if you're interested in something like that, want some more information about the Pathfinders Ministry, please see me at any time. But I do beg for your prayers that if you'll think about that. So, brother, will you come and make your announcements and then pray for